Well, how do you motivate yourself when you don't have a firm deadline? And I think everybody here agrees that you set yourself deadlines. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and if we don't meet those deadlines, if we set ourselves deadlines and we don't meet them, it's not because we don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's just something, right? Like, I'm sure you want to get more stuff done. It's nothing. There's no inherent, you know. You're able to meet those deadlines. Mm-hmm. Some of us in different circumstances can't. How do we break through that? How do you master those distractions? Because we get distracted, mm-hmm. right? How do you master those distractions? How do you get into the habit of getting things done?
Well, I don't know. I've been kind of focusing on what my end of, I guess in this case, end of term goal is. My end of term goal is to pass, and actually my original goal was I wanted to pass with honors. So in order to do that, I'm going to have to be able to manage my time. So in order to do that, I'm going to have to take advantage of something where we're given an assignment, like in music video production, we were given an assignment on the first day that was due at the end of term. So I was like, okay, oh, like this is awesome was my first thought. But I was like, if I just get this done, it's done and it's out of the way. I don't have to do it. And I did it about halfway through. Like I finished it like 3 weeks ago and it's not due for 2 more weeks or something. But also in Bob's new O Canada class, we were given an assignment that was a little bit lengthier, and that's due on like the last day of classes or something. And I decided to finish that pretty much right when it was handed out, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. So I finished that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I guess just finding ways, because I know that with all the classes we have, we're gonna have like this storm at one point or another, and although it's not here yet, it doesn't mean that it's not gonna come. So if I can get things out of the way, then I won't have to deal with them later. And I guess it's just like coming to that halfway point of like reality and seeing your far off goal, like your long term goal, as opposed to focusing on your short term goals. Like having those as well, but to focus on what your long term goal is and what's required for that. As well as seeing the reality and like coming to grips with that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You mentioned earlier when you were talking about how you didn't consider yourself the best high school student. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you been in a situation before where you didn't meet a goal or you really disappointed yourself, you failed to meet some deadlines, and did that burn you and you feel kind of really like, I never want to be there ever again?
Kind of. In my grade 12 English class, I did not meet a deadline for a pretty major project, mostly because I didn't really know too much what to do, but I remember, like, that teacher was kind of annoying. I didn't like her, she didn't like me. She
might be listening to this right now.
She was a pretty strict teacher, and I was a pretty, like, laid-back, like, kind of guy.
Yeah.
It's funny, actually, going into high school, I was really shy, but I took 4 years of drama, and that just opened me right up. As well as I work at a customer service entertainment place, so
did that kind of really suck, not meeting that deadline? Did you feel
It didn't feel good. Like I knew that I wasn't, that I didn't do it. I knew that
has everyone else ever like missed a deadline and felt really shitty about it? Sorry,
I was just thinking that very thing. That's one of the motivations for me. There was a program I started at one college, and I never completed even the first year for various reasons, but I think about that, and I think I never want to have that happen again.
Exactly. I feel that way too about things.
Especially when opportunity is attached to it. Like for me, those moments come in opportunities, where you had opportunities to do some things, and for whatever reason, you didn't follow through on that opportunity. Now it's like a year later when you think of where you could have been had you gone down that road, right? Especially for me in music, like, I mean, I've been doing the artist thing and producing and stuff for so many years, and I have like a manager who, you know, that's what a manager does. And like for me, like for instance, labels have tried to sign me. I've been offered deals from different labels, but the deals were crap. But it's like, you never know what could have came out of that, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I sleep well because I have my integrity, but there are just different opportunities in life, even when it comes to going certain places, like maybe not having gone to Wonderland on that day when you wanted to go and something happened and you wish you were there to see it. But yeah, those type of situations, they have been opportunities too.
But you can't let that paralyze you either, right? You gotta find the motivating element in there and think about that. Any day that passes where you didn't get something done, that's a lost day. You'll never get that day back ever again, yeah. Right? And that's a scary thing. So I find that very motivating.
And you know what they say too? They say there are three things you can never take back in life, and one is word spoken, time wasted, and lost opportunity.
Good one.
Just like they say, there are three guaranteed things in life: death, taxes, and drama.
So what do you think?
It's good. I feel a lot better in terms of getting behind the mic and actually recording the stuff that I have and stuff. And this is a good way to kind of practice and see how the flow of conversations could go in the situation that I'm walking into.
Yeah.
So it's good. And
and by how long we've been talking, you could even split this one up a bit.
Yeah, we're at 27 minutes.
If you wanted to use it, yeah, just split that up into like 6 5-minute episodes. You're done. we should welcome Franz to the room. Hey.
Franz.
Mr. Liverpool.
We're doing Mikey's first podcast episode. We're helping him overcome his creative block, so I'm recording it right now. Yeah. And we were talking about overcoming creative blocks.
I have one more question, though.
Yeah.
Sorry. When dealing with creative blocks and stuff, I mean, there are so many different reasons for it, but I think what happens when you're dealing with the ultimate demon of blockage, which for me and maybe a lot of people is just thinking and overthinking. Do we have any overthinkers in the room? What?
Hold on. Yeah. I have something I think I want to say about that. In that case, and this might sound completely anti what we've been talking about, in that case, I think you have to distract yourself.
How? That's my next question. How do you stop yourself from thinking of the things that are weighing so heavy on your head to the point where you can't think? In some cases, you can't even sleep. You can't function. Sometimes I'll sit in some of our classes, and just situations I have going on outside of school are just weighing on me to the point where everything teacher's saying is, right?
What are the things that distract you regularly from getting things done?
Just life, the struggles that of the many situations I'm going through and stuff. Sometimes when it comes to situations that we're all dealing with and we feel like there's no solutions or we can't see any answer in sight and stuff. I don't want to say it on the record because it's taping and people hear it, but we all have them, especially me.
Is there any kind of like entertainment, like distraction that you have?
Music. I mean, I don't even watch TV that much. And when I do, it's either CNN or CP24. But for the most part, it's music. And I can listen to my headphones for hours and just play music. But then the thing with that is, what I find is that as I get older and the more I listen to music and the more music means to me and the more meaning we give to music, example, because we've all been there, you're in a relationship or you've been in a relationship and there are certain songs that kind of act as milestones in that relationship for whatever reason. Maybe it's just a song that was out while you were with that person.
Yeah.
Let's say you break up with that person and you hear that song and it reminds you.
Yep.
What do you do as a room full of music lovers who do nothing but listen to music? What do you do when every song is distracting in that same type of way? To the point where you don't even want to play that song anymore because it's just reminding you of things. Like, how do you ease out or filter out the distraction and kind of take back the power or the control of the situation in order to get things done that you need to do?
There's actually a time where something like that has been similar to me. Like, I can recall a certain song that reminds me of my ex that was like a really horrible situation. Like, it's down to like one, actually two songs from two different bands that I can think of, and that's I think very similarly to you. And by thinking about that and like relating it and like, oh, this kind of sounds like this band, and like a lot of my music, I just didn't really want to listen to music. At that point in time, I started listening to new music that I've never listened to before. Like, that's how I got into jazz, and that's how I got into drum and bass, that's how I got into electronic music. if you start listening to music that you don't listen to, you open yourself to a whole new world.
Yeah, and that's actually worked for me a little bit too. And then what I've done with the previous music is sometimes in some situations, I'd play the heck out of that song and force myself
until
to bring
lost,
new meaning to
yeah.
it, to filter out
yeah.
to the point where I can listen to the song and it's like nothing anymore. And you know what I mean?
And like if you can get like something like that that's instrumental, I find those work the best. Because then you're just like listening to the music. You're not listening to someone's talk who resembles a woman or whatever, like an ex or something. You're not listening to anything that has any remote like connection. You're just kind of completely doing something that's foreign to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a valid distraction.
Cool. Anybody else? Ways of getting
actually,
rid of your overthinking.
Just this year I bought a CD of an album that I used to listen to when I was dating the lady that I married. And after I bought it, I thought, what was I thinking? There's a song on that that takes me to that moment when we went on a foursome, on a date, and we were all listening to it in the car. You know what? I haven't even unwrapped that CD because of that. It's still sitting there in the shrink wrap because
right.
I don't want to go there.
Isn't it funny how some situations just kind of control us
okay.
like that? Whether we want it to or not, it's just you can't help how you feel, what you think, how you react when you hear certain things. Like I have those too. Like I have this one song by there was a Canadian group that lasted for all of 15 seconds called Sugar Jones. Do you guys remember that song?
Yeah.
Like, there's two of them. They had this one called Days Like That, which was like their first song, and then they had this other one called How Much Longer. When I hear those two songs, it takes me back to like grade 9 and 10 and certain situations with certain girls that I liked at that time too. So it's like, it's hard. Like, how do you take back your life?
That's part of being alive, right? Like having your heart broken and doing all those things. Like,
but how do we deal? How do we deal with things where we can put ourselves in a position where we are more free from the associated feelings or blockage that can happen, like when life kind of takes over like that? In a moment where assignments need to get done, like this podcast, if I know that the date is coming up, and I have moments like that. In all honesty, I have moments like that, especially in the last couple of weeks. I'm dealing with, you know, I mean, I came here, I was talking to my lawyer on the phone. You know, I'm having a baby girl come September. I got to deal with that. I work on the weekends. I got school and homework. I got my bills to pay. You know what I'm saying? So it's like sometimes you get to those moments where we're sitting in class and it's just like, and all you can think about is all that you're going through. Which is completely dangerous when assignments are due, because I'll go home and sometimes the worst thing is to be by yourself when you're overthinking everything. I'm a thinker by default. Anything. I dissect everything. I analyze everything. I like to think before I play which card. You know what I'm saying? And it is definitely detrimental to a lot of everyday things. Like when I had to do an assignment and you can walk into it being as prepared as you want to. I'll walk into it saying, okay, all day, like even with the project that me and Gula were supposed to do, I decided to dedicate all of Saturday to that, right? And I said, I'm going to get up at 9 a.m. I'm going to spend the whole day, but it's like minute for minute. Something else is replacing that minute that you should have been working on the project because you're thinking and you're trying to find solutions and you're just completely all out distracted, but the deadline is coming. You know what I'm saying? What are your ways of, how have you found in the past, how have you dealt with situations like that? How did you force yourself to get back on track, at least for that moment, and focus on the task and what needs to be done? What are your ways with coping with overthinking?
You asked a bunch of different questions there, because when you were, what you touched on a bunch of different issues about, like, you know, worrying about, you know, your circumstances, your life circumstances, and all of that stuff. That's one issue in and of itself, right? I mean, everybody, some people have very legitimate concerns that they're going through that really makes a little pale in comparison. You know, in that context, I would say if you see school as a step, you know, really the only way you can get through any situation is one step in front of the other. And if you see your work at school as being a part of that larger solution, and that you see that completing that assignment is part of completing school, and if you see starting that assignment as being a part of completing that assignment, and if you see opening that book as being part of starting that assignment, and you just focus on one step in front of the other, that's how I look at it. I try to, and it's hard because you still have those other things, but just focusing on, okay, I can only do one thing at a time, and I'm just going to focus on putting one foot in front of the other. And right now, one foot in front of the other means turning on my computer and replying to this email, or making this screencast, or reading this article, or whatever. And not worrying about making a list of everything, just pick one thing and see it as a progression, right?
And you know what?
And then hopefully that starts momentum and you get going, right?
And that is actually one of my biggest problems personally.
Yeah.
I'm one of those type of people where my approach to everything is textbook approach, where it's got to be this and then this and then this, and I have issues or trouble sometimes with just going with the flow and learning to do things one step at a time. Like
you're a planner,
an extreme planner.
Yeah,
to the point where I don't even end up planning it. I just kibosh all my plans.
Years of being like that too. And it's difficult. It's difficult to lose the habit of planning. Some people, I think, are gifted with the fact that some people are the opposite. They never plan anything and it's always a big disaster. But us uber planners are cursed with that, because we do. We want to plan the whole thing out. Like Jeremy was saying too, you wanted to plan everything out, you know, and have everything scripted out for you, and then you would just follow the steps. Well, like, nothing in life works that way.
Yeah,
and so that, you know, and you know, this is a topic that's actually, this is especially relevant to artists, because I think artists feel this all the time. And I'll tell you about a project that I did with some artists called the Catherine North Mashup. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that or not, where it was a songwriting challenge where I invited this was a live event that we did at the studio, and I invited two songwriters, artists who had never met each other ever. That was kind of the point. And I invited them together, and they knew what the situation was, and they met that afternoon. They would come to the studio that afternoon. They met for the first time. Hi, nice to meet you. And they were from different, like, worlds. They were maybe, like, it was all sorts of genres and stuff, but two. And then I invited an audience to the studio, just a small audience, but maybe, like, 40 or 50 people. And they all sat, we had chairs set up in the studio, and they all sat together, and we put the two artists in the middle of the studio facing each other. And we gave them any instruments they wanted in the studio, anything at all you want, you can use. And the clock started at 7 o'clock, and we hit record at 7 o'clock. And then they had until 8 o'clock to write a song while we watched. And it was incredible, because writing a song, I mean, you guys have written songs, presumably, right? How long does it take you to write a song?
Oh, man.
How long does it take you to co-write a song when you've got two people going back and forth? So it was that forced, you know, and everybody knew, it's not like I just told them they had to do that. They knew, I gave them the option, and they accepted the challenge of co-writing a song with somebody else in front of an audience, being recorded, and doing it in an hour. So it starts at 7, ends at 8 o'clock, you're done, you've written the song, we've recorded it, and we're recording the whole thing.
You have to record it before the hour's end?
Yeah,
oh, shoot.
With an audience watching. Like, it's been tracked, it's been, like, you know, lyrics written, everything. Like,
from start to finish.
From start to finish, and you've never met each other. And you can't bring, like, a track you were working on or something like that. It's got to be from zero. And, you know, every time I've done it, they've managed to meet that deadline. They've managed to do it. And we've also filmed it. We actually videotaped it. We did interviews with the artists before and after. You guys should look it up sometime, because there's some really good interviews about forced creativity and overcoming. And they said they were so terrified when they started, and there was, like, people, like, sitting there watching you, strangers, waiting for you to start, you know, be creative, right?
Create.
Go and create. And they're staring at each other going, ah, you know, it was horrifying. And they said they were so scared that they didn't have time to be blocked. And nothing else outside the room mattered at that point. So all those other troubles, and, you know, they're human beings as well, so they had their own issues and worries that they were working with, financial, personal, family, everything, and it all disappeared at that moment, because they had forced themselves into the situation where they couldn't pay attention to anything else. They had to solve this problem, this crisis that was happening to them right there at that point. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting you do something like that, and sometimes it's not feasible. But my point in saying that is that, you know, you're not alone, really. I think it's, you know, as creative people, as people who are, you know, as artists, this is the price you pay. This is the price that we pay, right? Like, this is it. It's a constant struggle with managing your life and trying to come up with some sort of a creative output. And, you know, the whole point of this, the mashup, the project that we put on, was to sort of expose that creative struggle to regular people. People who aren't creative, people who are just normal, you know, because the people in the audience were just like my neighbors and stuff. They weren't musicians, they weren't, you know, they had no idea what happened in a recording studio, they had no idea what happened in the songwriting process. So it was a really great educational experience for them too. They saw the pain and the struggle, and they kind of felt uncomfortable at times, and they realized, wow, this is hard. Like, writing a song is difficult. And they had to listen to them go over the same thing. I know it's just an hour, but like, okay, let's do that verse again. And they were like, man, you know? So it was interesting. And so you're not alone. This is, I don't know if that makes you feel better or not, but you're not alone. This is, I bet you, everybody at some point has felt what you're feeling.
To a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, no one can say that.
No, nobody's. I'm not trying to belittle your situation or anything
Or
like, I'm not saying that, like, you know. I'm just saying, though, but don't feel alone, because a lot of people share that struggle, and to different degrees. And, you know, some people have minor problems. And we've, you know, we're adaptable. As a species, we adapt to everything. So the biggest problem in your life feels huge. Right, but it might be minuscule compared to somebody else's problem, or my smallest or your smallest problem might be bigger than my biggest problem. Like, it's just, we only see the world in relation to our own life experience, right?
For sure.
So, I don't know.
Well, guys, I've taken in a lot of interesting feedback and experiences, and it actually does make me feel better, because I have such a better idea of how I would like to approach podcasts going from here. And so thank you guys for participating, and that is going to do it for these podcasts.